Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. And He's good. He's good. That is nature. Goodness. He's faithful. He's loving. He's caring. He's everything that is good. Amen. And you know what? We are His children. You know, just imagine thinking of who He is, His greatness, His might, His power. And that God choose you and He choose me. To be honest, He can do without you. He can do without me. So it is a privilege for us to know that we are chosen by this great God. To know that He cares for us. He cares for us more than we even care, you know, of ourselves. And He's always there for us. Hallelujah. He said in His word that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So it doesn't matter what we're going through. He is there. I don't know why I'm just saying this, but there are some mountains that God will remove. You know, Isaiah 45, He says, I will go ahead of you. I will replenish all the mountains. There are some mountains that God will replenish for you to go through, to pass on, you know, a plain ground. But there are some mountains that He's not going to remove. He will help you to climb them. Amen. So there are some situations in our life that we might be praying and say, God, remove, remove, remove. I don't want to go through this. But the Lord said, no, I don't need to remove it. I am with you while you're going through it. And I will help you go through it. And because as you go through that situation, there are things that I have prepared in your life. There is that character that I am birthing in you that you need to go through that to become that person that I want you to be. So I'm not removing that mountain. You will go through it, but I will be there with you while you're going through it. I will help you. Amen. That's probably a word for somebody. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless you this morning. Oh God, we just give you the praise and the glory and the adoration, Father, because there is none like you. You are God. Not any God, but you are the God above every other God. And Lord, we worship you in the beauty of your holiness. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us, oh God, to come together and to praise your name. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that has been moving in this place. And we just say, Holy Spirit, continue to have your way. We sung, breathe on us. And now, Lord, I pray, breathe on your word, Lord. Let it become life to us. Lord, that as we listen to your word, we're not only going to be hearers, but we're going to be doers of your word, Father. May your word, Father, transform us to become the people that you want us to be. And Holy Spirit, I'm just a vessel. And I pray that you speak through me just what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been going through the Holy Spirit for a couple of weeks now. And I believe that we have been blessed so far. I'm sure you agree with me, because as a Christian, when we give our life to Christ, it is important to know the place of the Holy Spirit in our life, to know who the Holy Spirit is, to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives if we want to be successful in our Christian lives. Because without the Holy Spirit, there is nothing. I mean, nothing that we can do. We will try in our own flesh. We will struggle, but we'll not be able to do it. You know, even Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit in order to be successful, you know, in his ministry on earth. And remember, Jesus was God, but on earth he operated as a man. You know, as a man, he needed the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 tells us that, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the enemy, for God was with him. Amen. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to be successful, what about you and myself? Amen. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So today, I'll be talking on spiritual warfare and, you know, condition for receiving the Holy Spirit. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to point out the place of the Holy Spirit in spiritual warfare. Amen. You know, the life that we live is spiritual. Do you agree with me? Many people focus on the physical, you know, but the truth is the life starts from the spiritual. And if we don't have this awareness, we will live our life in the flesh. We'll live our life based on the things that we see, we feel, we hear, you know. And to be honest with you, we're going to be defeated because the flesh cannot overcome anything that is spiritual. Hallelujah. You know, when in the book of King, when Elijah was surrounded, you know, by the Assyrian army, who came to take him, his servant Gehazi said to him, "How many soldiers?" I mean, he looked around and he saw the multitude of soldiers, and he was afraid. So he spoke to Elijah. What I'm trying to establish is for us to understand the spiritual aspect of life. So he said to Elijah, "Master, see how many people are surrounding us, chariots, you know, of armies." And the Lord, I think Elijah just said to him that those that are with us are far more greater than those that you're seeing outside. And Elijah prayed and said, God opened his eyes. And when God opened his eyes, he saw the vast multitude of armies, you know, from God that were there. Now, what it tells us is that while his eyes were closed, he didn't even know that that was the kind of protection that was around him. He could not understand the God's protection that was around him. But when his eyes was open, he could see now in the realm of the spirit, thinking, "Oh wow, my God, look at that!" And that gave him, you know, the courage and the confidence, you know, to be there, knowing that, "Oh wow, these people, though, you know, in the physical, the thing that they are great, they're going to fight the overcomers, but you know, the army of God is there and he's going to fight them and he's going to overcome them." So we need to understand, number one, as Ephesians, we're going to read, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Life is spiritual. Things happen first in the realm of the spirit before they happen in the physical. And we have an enemy, we have a true enemy, we have Satan. You know, if Satan can make us understand that things are just physical, then he has won the battle already. If Satan can convince us that we fight against flesh, then he has won the battle. I give an example. You have a child who is unruly. You have maybe struggle with, I don't know, your family. And the enemy and Satan can make you focus on what you see. Maybe your sister, brother not behaving the way they should. And you know what? You are fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against your sister. Whereas that is not the real enemy. Even in the body of Christ, you know, we stand against each other. Maybe our ideas, no, this person is thinking this way, I'm not thinking that way, and this person has done this, this other person has done that. And we start fighting against each other. But the truth is, the enemy loves that. He loves that because while we're doing it, we forget that he is the real enemy. We forget that he is the one that we are supposed to fight, and not our brothers, not our sisters, not each other. Amen. And when he succeeds, when we're doing that, he's like, "Wow, oh, I've put them where I want them to be." And that's what is happening even in the body of Christ. You know, churches are fighting each other based on, you know, stupid ideologies, little things. This person, they wear scarf, we don't wear scarf. They wear earring, we don't wear earring. And things like that, we're just fighting. And the enemy is like, that's good. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Amen. Now we have to come to that place where we know our enemy. Amen. Because if you're going to fight someone and overcome and win the battle, what are you supposed to do? You need to know who you're fighting. You need to know the weapon that are available for you. Otherwise, you won't be able to engage in the fight. Or if you do, you're not going to be successful. Amen. So we're going to read the book of Ephesians as from Ephesians chapter 6 as from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, as for verse 10, I read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," stand, like the next verse will say. Now we say, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The first thing that we need to understand is say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It means you're not strong in yourself, because in yourself there is no strength. In ourselves there is no strength for us to be able to fight the enemy. And we can agree with that, because there are things in your life that you've tried on your own to fight against them. You've tried, and each time you think maybe you're a bit successful and you see that, no, you're not. Why? Because you're fighting with your own power. You're fighting with your own strength. And with your own strength, you can. So the Bible is saying to us, it said, be strong in the power of his might. His might, which is God's might. Now, his power, we need to understand his power first. The God that we serve is powerful. Amen? He's powerful. There is no one like him. When we begin to look at creation, when we begin to look at the things that he's done, when you go out there, you look at the heaven, you look around you, you look at the things that he has done, I mean, there is no one as powerful as he is. So you begin to understand that if I can rely in the power of this God, you know what? There is no way that I can be defeated. So he said, be strong in the power of his might. So understand the power of his might. The power of his might. And he said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil has wiles. You know, the enemy is not playing. Satan is not playing, especially now that he knows that his time is short. He has taken everything that he has. He took it out, you know, to ensure that he gets Christians defeated. Especially everyone that has declared that, you know what, I want to surrender, I've surrendered my life to Christ, I am a Christian. He will do everything in order to bring us down. And his vials, one of them is lies. You know, the Bible says that he is the father of lies. He is a liar from the beginning. So he tells us lies, manipulate us. And the Bible says that we should be able to stand against those vials of the enemy. Amen. And say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of these ages, against spiritual wickedness. You know, he's saying you wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, Apostle Paul was writing to this church, and I'm sure that he was aware of the difficulties that they were going through. Probably they were wrestling against flesh and blood. Probably there were arguments, there were things going on, you know, in that church. And Apostle Paul said, I need to write to this church. I need them to understand who their enemy is. I need them to understand the weapon that they have at their disposal to be able to fight the enemy. And he said, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is what we can see. Our fight is not what It's not against what we can see. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against dominion. There are spirit, wicked spirit that the enemy has released out there that are fighting the church, that are fighting you, including myself, that will do everything to ensure that we are not successful in our work with God, that will do everything to ensure that we are down. And we need to understand that our fight is not against flesh and blood. But you know, it's saying, take up the whole armor of God. The whole. So when he said the whole armor of God, it means you're not taking one. You're taking everything. You know, if I always said the word of God is not a buffet. It's not pick and choose. You know, you don't decide that I choose this. That is for me and this one is not for me. Everything is everything. He said, take up the whole armor of God. The whole, everything. So we're going to go through it now. It says, therefore take off the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now the very first weapon is what? Is truth. It's truth. So if he said, truth, get your ways with truth, it means that there is lie, you know. And when we talk about truth, truth is the word of God. Amen. The truth is the word of God. Now, if you are going to fight the enemy or we are going to fight the enemy, we need to know the truth that is in the word of God. You know, we need to know our position as Christians. We need to know our position in Christ. We need to know, as I said earlier on, the enemy that we are fighting. We need to know how to engage in this battle. Amen? You know, I would just like us to go to Ephesians chapter 1, as from verse... Okay, as from verse 19. Now, this is a prayer that Apostle Paul prayed for the church, for the Ephesian church. Now, he said, as from verse 19, say, and he's talking about the power of God for the Ephesian church to understand the power of God that is available to them. So he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all the principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, this is a prayer that Apostle Paul made for the Ephesian church, for the Ephesian church to understand the power that is available to them. You know, he said that power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you imagine somebody dead? And then they come back to life. And he's saying that power that raised him from the dead, that power is available to you and myself. Wow. That power is available to you and myself. So when we are going to fight the enemy, we need to understand. You know, we're not fighting from the standpoint of, let me put it this way, we fight from the standpoint of victory, right? We have that power already available. And now he's saying that we are seated far above principalities and powers. Remember, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, powers, and dominion. And now he's telling you that we are seated above those powers. So when you are seated above those powers, what does that mean? That those powers are under you. When you are seated above somebody, it means that you have dominion over that person, right? In the book of Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In the book of Mark, when he resurrected from the dead, he told his disciple, all power has been given unto me. So all power has been given unto me. I give you the power. You know, we're not powerless. We are not powerless. It's just for us to understand and to know the truth. Amen? And this first weapon that we have is the most important one, that belt of truth, because every other weapon depends on that. Amen? And to know the truth, we have to invest in the Word of God. Invest ourselves to study the Word, know the Word. And that takes discipline. It takes discipline to put time aside to study the Word. But if we want to be victorious, we need that. You can't feed on other people's knowledge of God. Yes, it's true. You come here on Sunday. Yeah, you get a bit of the Word, or maybe weekly meetings. But that's not enough. That's not enough, you know, to keep you going. That's not enough to keep us going. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the truth if we want to be victorious. Otherwise, we'll always find ourselves on the door. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we will feel that we are seated under, that the enemy is sitting on us. Amen? And the next weapon, you know, there was something that I wanted to say that I forgot. You know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, what I wanted to establish, that spiritual warfare is not shouting, it's not screaming. It's not praying with power and all of those things that people think. That, you know, when you pray, you shout, you're loud and everything, then that is spiritual warfare. No, that's a lie. You can scream, you can, you know, be loud, but if you don't know your position as a child of God, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know the weapon you're supposed to use, the enemy will just be looking at you and just be laughing. All right. What are they doing? What are they doing? And, you know, the next weapon is... So the next weapon is, I think, the helmet of salvation. No, sorry. Is it the helmet of salvation? Let me just read. The shoes, the shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of faith, or gospel of peace. So the next weapon is the we have to short, like, where the gospel of peace. So, the gospel of peace, what is the gospel? Can somebody answer? What is the gospel? Good news. And what is the good news about the gospel? Amen. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen. Our sins have been forgiven. We are saved. Amen. So, when we come to Christ, we become one with Him. Amen. The Bible says that He is in us and we are in Him. So there is that oneness. And from that oneness come the peace. Amen. The peace. And believe me, there is no way you can fight a battle when there is no peace in you. We need that peace. We need that peace to be able, you know, to overcome Satan. And that peace comes from the gospel. Amen. Amen. So we'll go through. The next one is, I'll just look at this. It says, above all, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the next one is the shield of faith. And with that shield of faith, you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And honestly, the enemy is good at that. He's always throwing things at us. You know, when you're through with this problem, before you know it, he chose another one. You're through with this one, before you know it, he chose another one. And the Bible says that we need that shield of faith. We need that shield of faith. And now for the Roman soldier, that shield of faith that they had was on, you know, on the front of it, it was full with heads of animals. So before they went into war, what they did is that they will wet it, they will soak it with water. So when the fiery dart comes from the enemy, you know, the wetness of it will just kind of quench it. So when we talk about the water, we're talking about the word of God. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So there is no way you or myself, we can have faith without hearing the word of God. And again, you see, when I said that the first armor, which is, you know, the belt of truth, is the most important one, because every other armor that we see is attached to that first one. When it's talk about faith, for us to build up our faith, we need to know the word of God. Amen? We need to know the word of God. And again, I will still emphasize, we need to spend time studying the word. Be filled with the word. You know, when the enemy comes and brings those lies, we know the truth in the word. We can stand. We can stand in our faith because we know the word of God. We know the truth. Amen? Knowing the word is knowing God. There is no way you can have faith in someone that you don't know. You can have a woman say, I trust my husband. Why? Because she knows her husband. You can come with all sorts of stories and tell you the woman, she will say, well, I don't believe you. I trust my husband. I know my husband. You know, we need to get to that place where we know God. It's not, we don't know about him from what people say. We know him for ourselves through his word. That when someone tells you that this is not going to happen, when the enemy nag you, when you're sick, he tells you that, you know what, you're not going to be healed. And you say, no, the word of God says that with the stripe of Jesus Christ, I am healed, or I was healed. Because you know the word and you stand on the word. Not just knowing the word, but you know your God. And that word is able to build up your faith. Hallelujah. But we have to be responsible. You know, it takes discipline, as I said. It takes discipline. And one of the things that we don't want is being disciplined. Amen? And the enemy will do everything it takes to distract us. So we don't do the things that are important. Amen. And the next one, he said, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation was to protect the mind, protect the head. So when you have the helmet of salvation, what does that mean? You protect your thought. You know, salvation is when we come to Christ, we are saved. When we give our life to Christ, we are saved. But the thing is, we don't just stop there. Apostle Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? It is a process. You know, there is a process of sanctification. Amen? There is a process of sanctification, which means we have a part to play as well. You know, the enemy, the battle most of the time is in our mind. The enemy would do everything, put in thoughts, you know, all sorts of thoughts, in a way that if we don't take care of our mind, we get defeated even before any battle starts. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, I think 4 and 5, it says, The weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but he said they are mighty through Christ to the pulling down of stronghold. It says bringing down every imagination. It says every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And bringing every thought captive, you know what, to the word of God. So we need to take care of our mind. In the book of Romans 12 chapter 2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may be able, you know, to discern what the perfect will of God is. Be transformed. It means it is our duty to know the word and allow the word of God to transform our mind. Amen. Very important. And then the next one, it says, the next one is, and after the helmet of salvation, and he said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I think, did I skip one? I think I did. Okay, we just go to the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And if we know someone who used this, I mean, I would say if Jesus himself had to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to overcome the enemy, how much more of us? Because when we look at when Jesus was tempted in the desert, tempted by the enemy, you can have that, find that in Matthew 4, verse 4, or in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. It says, each time that the enemy, you know, tempted Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And if you go through it, at some point, even the enemy quoted the word of God. So Satan knows the word of God. He knows the word of God. So he can beat you at that game if you are not equipped with the word of God. Amen? So we need to equip ourselves with the word of God. So when we are tempted, you know what? We bring the word of God out. It is written. You know, David said, your word have I hid in me, that I may not sin against you. The word of God needs to be in us. And when we talk about spiritual battle or spiritual warfare, do you know that if we decide to live a sanctified life, you know, a consecrated life, a life of holiness, half of our spiritual battle is already done. Because most of the time, right, what we call even the battles that we have in our life is because of the doors that we've opened to the enemy through, you know, disobedience, through rebellion, through sin. And when we open the door, the Bible says the thief comes to steal. You know, the enemy who is the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we open those doors, when the enemy comes in, he will ensure that he destroys. So a life of sanctification, a life of holiness, a life of consecration is a weapon, a great weapon against the enemy. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, where is the place of the Holy Spirit when we talk about spiritual battles? We can have the weapon, but we need a strategy. You know, you can have the weapon, you go and fight the enemy. Without any strategy, you're not going to win. And Satan is good at strategy. I'll tell you the truth. He strategizes. By the time that he comes with something, he has spent time to study you. He studies your weaknesses. He studies you very well. So when he comes with something, he knows you're going out, coming in, the things that you do, where you're strong, your strength, your weaknesses. And he hits you where he knows that you're not strong. We need the Holy Spirit to give us a strategy. When to fight, how to fight, the enemy. Amen? You know, it says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means praying in the Holy Ghost. Or let me say it this way, praying in tongues. I know there are people, when you mention praying in tongues, they're just like, no, that's not for me. No, that's not for me. But it is important. It is important praying in the Spirit. Because you know what? even Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, he says, I pray in tongues more than all of you put together. Can you imagine one person praying in tongues more than a whole church put together? And I would say that's not probably, but that was one of the reasons that Apostle Paul could stand. Yes, he loved the Lord, but that was one of the reasons. You can see all the trials, all everything that he went through, but he was still strong. Why? Because when we pray in tongues, we build up our faith. We build up our faith. The Bible says that he who prays in tongues edify himself. So when we pray in tongues, we edify ourselves. What does that mean? We build up ourselves. We become stronger in our faith. In Jude chapter 1, Jude has just one chapter, verse 20. He said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Very important. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, we do not know how to pray, how we ought to pray. It says, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession, you know, through us by groaning that cannot be altered. And I think in the book of Corinthians, he said, who knows the mind of God except the Spirit? So you know what? When the Holy Spirit intercedes through us, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, so the Holy Spirit can capture the thoughts of God while we are praying. And I always say, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, there is no way you can miss. Because your intellect is not involved. Praying in the Spirit. And before we pray in the Spirit, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit first. When Peter, when the early church, when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they were praying in tongues and praying in different tongues, and you had the people coming and thinking they were drunk, but they were hearing them speaking in their own languages and everything. And, you know, Peter went out, and Peter started talking to them, preaching the word to them. And, you know, they said, what shall we do to be saved? You can find that in the book of Acts chapter 2, as from verse 37 or 38, I think. So what shall we do to be saved? And Peter told them what to do to be saved. And he said, he added, you know, like, accept Jesus Christ in your life. You know, confess your sin, renounce your sin, accept Jesus. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Honestly, there is nothing that you have to do to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit beside, number one, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, when you are a born-again Christian, that is the first thing. And the second thing is, you have to be thirsty. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 7, as verse 37, he said, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out loud. He said, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said that he was talking about the Spirit that wasn't yet given, because he wasn't glorified yet. But after Jesus died, you know, he was glorified and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It's very important, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier on, we cannot do without the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues has a place in spiritual warfare. You build up your faith. Build up your faith. And without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 6, it is impossible to please God. You know, we have a phone, and every now and then we charge the phone. Jude said, he said, when we pray in the Spirit, it's the same thing. It's like you're charging yourself. Life is tough. Life is tough, to be honest with you. And even Jesus said, in this world we'll have tribulation. And we are in the last days. We need all the weapons that the Lord has given us to be able to fight the enemy. All the weapons, all of them. And we need to keep short account to sin so we don't open the door to the enemy. Because when we open the door to the enemy, believe me, he will step in and he will cause destruction. Because many times the battles that we face in our lives, many battles are as a result of doors that we open to the enemy. It's true, God is faithful, God is gracious, but sometimes it takes us time to deal with those consequences. And the enemy will ensure, try, and do everything that we stay there in that place of struggle in order to destroy our faith in God. So this morning, if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and after hearing this message, you think, it is for me. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able, you know what, to pray in the Spirit, build up my faith. I want to be able to use all the weapons that are at my disposal to overcome the enemy. You know what? There are people here who can pray for you after the service. You can go to Pastor Rob. You can go to Jim, David, Jane, or come to me. We'll pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or even if you just need prayer, because maybe you are at that place where you think, I need prayers. I need that extra faith from other people, you know, to support me. We are ready to pray for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Jesus, you said, the word that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. And Lord, your word is life. And Father, we pray that the word that we've listened this morning, oh God, let him bring life in us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that what we've learned this morning, oh God, the weapon that we have, help us, Father, to be able to use those weapons to withstand the enemy. Holy Spirit, we need you. There is nothing that we can do without you. And we pray for those of us who have received the Holy Spirit, we pray for extra filling, that you will fill us even more, Holy Spirit. And for those who have not received the Holy Spirit, Lord, who will come forth to receive him, we pray, Father, that you will honor their desire because you said it is a gift. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing, Father God, in the ministry. Thank you, Father, for the new wine. And thank you, Father, for the grace to carry on in this race until the end. In Jesus' name, amen.